You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yep, you know, last week we had so much fun with our guest, Amy Vandehei. She's the new kid on the block at the council. And her new job is that she is in charge of education and outreach and a lot of other stuff. You'll learn that everybody on the council wears lots and lots of hats. And it's kind of neat the way, it's eclectic the way everybody gets, ends up in Hawaii and ends up at NOAA Fisheries, or ends up at the council, or ends up on a fishing boat, or ends up at a fish market. And certainly Amy had a pretty circuitous route. She's an Oregon girl, and at a very young age, liked the ocean to the point where very early, going to a university in zoology and then into the marine area. And here she is now with a new job, thousands of miles, but really not that far away from home. Welcome back. Nice to see you again.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
I think that we learned a little bit, and I need people to understand, when they go to WPCouncil.org and they see all of these smiling faces, everybody had these neat routes everybody took to be there. So you're in with a bunch of people that are like-minded that you never knew who they were before you got in there, right?
Yeah, and lots of the jobs that I've been in, you know, people are passionate about, mm-hmm. you know, the sea in different areas. You know, the council is knows that we're going to be using the resources, and they want to manage it the best they can.
Well, those that don't know, the council is formed basically because of the Magnuson Act. It was just a necessary thing. And I do know that we often refer to it as a bottoms-up organization. And I'm thinking that, and this has a lot to do with what you're doing in outreach and opportunities, there were a lot of misapprehensions about the council. And I think that's over the years, and I guess that's been explained to you. It's not so bad anymore. It's much more us instead of them and us.
Yeah, we know, we encourage people to be involved and learn more about the council, because I think there's a lot of fears that are sort of unfounded. And so when people are involved and really know what we're about, then that kind of goes away.
Yeah, and that's really great. Okay, so you had an opportunity, this particular job. What did you learn? What does it entail? I mean, I already told it said education outreach coordinating position, but what part of the community, what part of the globe do you reach into?
So, yeah, you know, we definitely are here in Hawaii, but we also are involved with the territories in American Samoa, Guam, and the CNMI.
Yeah.
And, you know, all four of those different areas have different needs, but we're trying to coordinate it and, you know, reach out to people and find out the best way to do that in each community.
If you were with us last week, we learned a little bit about the lunar calendar that's being done for 2020 and some other stuff and some of the publications that are available. This week, we want to learn. I want you to learn a little bit about educational opportunities. Many of you know that we've done work with Aaron Yoshioka before at Moanalua School. And these are just wonderful young kids that learned how to do that. But from what I understand, the mission, if you will, now is to reach go K-12, get these programs going in other things, in other places. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so there's an education committee that's part of the council, and you know, initially they have started out to focus on the scholarship program that we have. That's kind of expansion of a previous version, and basically it's to fund 2 years for mm-hmm. either undergraduate mm-hmm. or graduate degree from people primarily in the territories. So they are wanting to educate their own people there on the island. They come here to Hawaii and get their degree, and then they go back and they use that in their community.
Do you find it fascinating how grateful these people are?
Yeah,
I mean,
great.
They come up here, and listen, they're far from home. They're mm-hmm. they're off their feed. They're, you know, they're certainly living in a place that costs a little bit more to live than where they're coming from. But their takeaway is they want to soak up information like a sponge mm-hmm. so they can go back and be valuable to their community.
Yeah, and we just want to educate them. They come actually for an internship in the summer, either at mm-hmm. the council office or some other of our partner agencies, and they learn more about, you know, what is fishery management and that sort of work environment, and then they can go back into their home agencies and their island to be able to bring that experience.
I do know that a lot of times it used to be the people that are far in the far-flung areas of the council's purview had no idea mm-hmm. what was available to them, and probably in many respects felt a lot left out.
Yeah, you know, there's people already working in those agencies on the island territories that may need a little bit help. They need to, you know, in order to more education to be able to go farther in there, what they're wanting to do. And so since they're already there on island, they already have those ties. They want to stay there. Oftentimes, if the agencies are hiring from somewhere else, you know, they're there for a couple of years, then they leave.
Yeah, that's the real problem. And I mean, that used to be the problem here on Oahu a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that today's your career, you are expected to move around. It's much more than me. Back in the day, when my grandfather got his first job, I'm sure it was you work for somebody for 30 years, right. 40 years, you get your gold watch and you retire. Yeah. But now it's people jump from thing to thing. So mm-hmm. Isn't it sort of sometimes sad when you're working with somebody and they opt out, they go somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of institutional knowledge that that leaves with that person, so it is hard. It's not a stable environment, but in science, that's particularly true. I mean, you see the people jump all over the place, and it's actually seen kind of a little bit badly if you're staying one place for too long and get all your experience.
Yeah, no, and that's the other side of it, and I think a lot of that is to do with technology because you're able to leave a pretty good footprint. Mm-hmm. I mean, now with the digital age that we're in, and storage is not an issue, and you can Google something or go quick and scan something, that when you leave, you can leave it all at the doorstep. Mm-hmm. You know, that somebody coming in can say, well, you know, Amy used to work this job, but Bob, this is great. She left some pretty good records here, what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, no, it's great to be able to pick up from, you know, what somebody has already started and be able to run from there because, you know, it's a lot of work. And so just want to be able to build on that.
What, you know, you are, I would think, on a personal side would be the exception rather than the rule, because didn't you sort of get an idea as a younger person, where you wanted to go, where you wanted to be?
Yeah, you know, I grew up around going to the ocean quite a bit. My family really loved to go to the Oregon coast. And mm-hmm. even though it was very different, I knew that that was exciting to me.
Were you inland from Oregon?
I was about an hour inland from in Salem.
Okay,
So, you know, it's not too long to get to the coast. You know, there's a lot of people in the mainland that don't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that just always fascinated me, and I knew I wanted to go into it. So that helped me kind of focus.
You know, I think, I've had many, many guests that realize how fragile the environment is. They get into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when they see something that's offensive, it personally hurts them. They just say, wow, this is just awful. You know, we were talking about last week, there was that story a couple of weeks ago in the press about shark finning. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out that, you know, at what point in your life did you learn that sharks weren't something that you get scared about once a week on Shark Week, that they're pretty important important things?
Yeah, like once you're learning more about that oceanography and how all the different species interact, you know, you can tell that each of them have their place.
Okay, so one of the things, by the way, gang, is for you to find your place. And your place quite often is WPCouncil.org. Because I'm going to steer you there to make sure that you're aware of that. And not only not only did we talk before about some of the educational materials that are available, but we sort of touched on something that we wanted to get back, and that's why we wanted to get Amy back this week. And that was not the Pacific Territories, what they call capacity building. A lot of people don't know what that is. They think that might be building more apartments, capacity. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about is making sure that we're going to be able to fill the void that gets created when somebody retires.
Yeah, and it's more like the human resources and bringing up the next generation. Yeah. So to make sure that there's people to fill those spots when people are leaving. So we talked about like the older sort of college level, but then we're also going to be reaching down farther into the K-12 and looking at each of those island areas to see the best way to get the fishery resources into the classroom.
I'm thinking that I don't want to say you bait and switch, but I know that a lot of us that get into the things we do get into the one thing that brings us pleasure, but then you realize, well, I go to part of my deal on this one is I get to go to that island, but only once a year. The other 11 months I'm in an office. Don't we have to show these young people particularly that they can get wide and varied experience? They're not going to get stuck somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. And it just depends on their interests as well, because not everyone's going to go to college and get a PhD.
Yeah.
We're also going to be looking at promoting different vocational kind of jobs, like things that might be involved with fisheries, like learning how to fix boats or do things like that. So, yeah, there's all different ways that you can get involved.
I do know that the pebble in the pond here on the occupied islands, it's somehow a little bit more difficult to see how somebody is connected to the fishery. They think, well, I don't eat fish. I don't catch fish. But what about your neighbor? Mm-hmm. Or what about your job where you're working at the grocery store that sells fish? Mm-hmm. There, it's pretty much pretty, when you get to the other parts of the Pacific, isn't it pretty obvious how important the ocean is to all of us?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the island cultures here, that is a big part of many people's lives. Yeah. And so even if it's not your own, you see people, you know, fishing and doing that on the side of the road. I think it's very important to, you know, tell younger people about, for example, like how the poke gets in your poke bowl.
So yeah,
how,
you know, and what is it anyway?
Yeah. What was it entailed? There's all these people's lives, and they're risking to go out and get their fish, and the people that are involved, the businesses and everything else involved.
You know, and sometimes, and it's like, I think we touched upon this last week when we met Amy, and that was, you know, a lot of the monies that get paid to some of these groups in the Pacific for, you know, for the longline boats to go catch tuna where they can't and all of that stuff. That money has a trickle-down effect into things like a boat ramp or a repair shop, or being able to sell the fish that you catch instead of just, you know, import everything you eat. It's so much more dynamic. That's why I'm glad to see that you're trying to find these young people to come up here to the big city and learn, and then go back home. Mm-hmm. Like, what? How do those programs work?
For the scholarship
program? Yeah.
Yeah, so we actually put out a solicitation every year, and so the students that have strong ties to those three island areas are able to apply. Mm-hmm. And we take up to three students every year.
Okay.
And it's either
and these are in what age group?
So it's going to be, since the territories only have community college degrees,
right.
So,
yeah.
So they have to
have completed the 2 years, right?
For undergraduate, yeah.
Right,
so then it would be junior and senior year for an undergraduate degree, and then graduate students also can apply for the 2 years.
And what is that scholarship, what does it include? Because I do know that people will send a letter or email somebody down in that part of the ocean and say, hey, is your son still interested? Is your daughter still interested? Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so once they are, we have that information at the application on our website when it comes out in the spring. And then we, you know, go through all those and see, choose the three best. And then they start doing that next fall.
Yeah.
And then after, between those 2 years, they have an internship that they do. So they're actually getting work experience. Either they come into the council office or various other fishery agencies.
Let me tell you, I have actually had the opportunity to chat and interview some of these young people. Fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
They give up an awful lot to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally their personal lives just get put in another drawer for several years in some cases.
Yeah, they're far from home.
Yeah.
There is some communities from those islands that are here. Like there's a strong program at UH Hilo, and you know, they're used to having students that are from American Samoa, Guam, CMI that are
met one Amy that nobody in her family had ever been to higher education.
Yeah,
nobody had anything outside of a high school, and many of them didn't even have that.
Yeah, it's hard to coast, you know, far from home to be able to do that. So yeah,
you know, and by the way, it's. It's not just being breadwinning. I don't know that if feeding yourself is as hard of a job in some of those places because they're more used to communal work and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have expertise, it's going to get them a boat or get them some refrigeration equipment or get them something. The success is really measured in it.
Yeah. No, it's great to see that full cycle that have students. So we've had 9 students that were in the program up until now. So 4 have gone through it and started working. And then we have 5 that are sort of going through the process right now. And then we chose 3 new ones for this coming school year.
Okay. And at what point in time they've been selected?
Mm-hmm.
So they're we'll be able to talk about them pretty soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the greatest part. What of that information is available at wpcouncil.org? What can they find?
Yeah, so actually they were focused on our last fishery newsletter, the Pacific Island Fishery Newsletter that comes out every quarter. There was some articles in there that was really focusing on that program and talking about each student and their sort of journey. We did actually have a student from CNMI this year who was a previous scholarship recipient for undergraduate. She went back to work.
Oh, going back.
And then she now applied for graduate student, and she got in.
Now, and there's someone making a specific commitment to, to their home.
Right.
Yeah, great opportunities. And that's why the onus has been put on this and as we do that. So in other words, capacity building is adding more bodies.
Yeah, just to have the expertise and the knowledge that they need to be able to help, you know, with their fisheries there.
You know, what's interesting to me is when they come up here to learn, how do we know up here what they need down there? What do we learn that they need to learn?
Yeah, and our programs developing here curriculum. Our programs here are evolving. Part of our commitment with the education committee is those different entities, including the schools, to be able to, you know, work with the students, improve the curriculum, make sure mm-hmm. they're offering the kind of classes that they need to be successful.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And I guess as we unfold and learn more about Amy and what she's doing, and that we can pass that information along. I do know that one of the things that is important is that when you come out with a newsletter, a lot of the stuff that we talked about on this show is information gathering. And then it gets to a point where it gets distributed. Mm-hmm. Talk about how much information is being distributed by the council to all the folks that need it.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways that people can get direct information is to join our email mailing list.
Yeah.
So we send out.
It's a click. You go to the WP Council and it just says, add me to the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that we send out really great information. It tells you about the next council meetings that are coming up, the Fishers Forum. It's going to tell you about like different news articles that might be interesting in fisheries. It tells you about our newsletters that are coming out, anything new that we want to share with our audience.
Okay. So that means that you need to go and get and then hooked up. And the next time we get Amy back in here, I promise to bring some of these people along, because I guess, and every time we've had the opportunity to have a student on, we get so much input from other parents that say, that kid sounds so bright. Mm-hmm. Aren't you amazed? I'm amazed at the quality of kids that keep coming up here.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. I mean, both for the high school program that you've, the summer course that had students there, as well as the, you know, the college students really make a big commitment. Yeah. And, you know, they're passionate about what they want to do. So you have to really be committed to be able to do that.
One thing that I've learned, when they're younger, they're still impressionable, and they may not think they want to have anything to do with it, but then they do. But when they get in back, when they come back again, like that one gal that you talk about, then they are committed. They made it. And isn't that the fruits of the, I mean, the proofs in the pudding? The effort was worth the result.
Right. Yeah. They saw that the program was worthwhile, and it was, you know, something that they could benefit from and take back to their community.
Well, I think that's great. I want to thank you again for being with us. Hope that we can spend more time going forward. And remember, gang, if you want to hear something specific on this program, go to their website. Or easy enough, drop me an email, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. And for those of you that wonder what's going on this weekend, get back in the water. Get that bad weather behind us. Go out and get some fish. So have a great rest of your weekend. See you on Monday morning for The Mike Buck Show. Aloha.